Warning, the following ZipRecruiter radio spot you are about to hear is going to be filled with F-words.
When you're hiring, we at ZipRecruiter know you can feel frustrated, forlorn even, like your efforts are futile, and you can spend a fortune trying to find fabulous people, only to get flooded with candidates who are just fine. Fortunately, ZipRecruiter figured out how to fix all that. And right now, you can try ZipRecruiter for free at ziprecruiter.com/zip. With ZipRecruiter, you can forget your frustrations because we find the right people for your roles fast, which is our absolute favorite F word. In fact, 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day.
Fantastic.
So, whether you need to hire 4, 40, or 400 people, get ready to meet first-rate talent. Just go to ZipRecruiter.com/zip to try ZipRecruiter for free. Don't forget, that's ZipRecruiter.com/zip. Finally, that's ZipRecruiter.com/zip.
Hey, if you've suffered an injury in an accident and would like a free case review, make sure you call the super team at Daspit Law Firm. Free consultations are available 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Dial 713-CALL-NOW. That's 713-CALL-NOW. Or you can go to the website, DaspitLaw.com.
Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's John and Lance
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Good Thursday morning, everybody. John and Lance along with Dell for the next 3 hours here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Got a beautiful apartment there, Lance, in Indianapolis. I could see it looks like Cliff Kingsbury's house in Arizona.
That's what it is.
Remember that picture of Cliff hanging out of his house when he first got to Arizona? That's what your palatial estate looks like. It's beautiful. Beautiful.
Yeah, it's nice.
So, so a lot of stuff going on over there at the. We got a lot of Nick Caserio sound because Nick Caserio made the rounds yesterday. With Pat McAfee and on the podium and in different interview situations. So that was cool. But, Abdul Carter, that was a huge story, huh? What's the scuttlebutt there? A possible number one overall pick having an injury.
I'd heard he wasn't going to work out. And so... I hadn't heard it was related to an injury at all. So, it doesn't make sense to throw injury out there as an excuse not to work out. If you don't want to work out, just don't work out. You know, just pull the Marvin Harrison. Because you already see, I'll guarantee you this. I'll bet you he doesn't have surgery.
Yeah.
Oh, you Drew said there are mixed opinions on whether he needs surgery, and we will figure that out in the near future. He's not going to work out at all this year. It doesn't really make sense why not, because he's going to test really well. He's a really good athlete, and I don't know. There's just been some rumors that he I don't really get too far into it, but I'm just kind of curious about this. I thought this was kind of a little bit curious, but if he does have that, you know, I guess you could look into it.
What is it, a stress and foot?
They say it's a stress fracture. There's two options. One, he could have preemptive surgery, have a screw inserted in his right foot, and return to working out and running again in 8 weeks. Two, he could bypass the surgery, conduct his pro day at Penn State on March 28th, and prove to NFL teams that he doesn't need a procedure. So this could be interesting. Maybe there's more to it than I initially thought. I have not heard anything about the injury at all. I just heard he wasn't going to work out, so maybe he wasn't going to work out because he's got the injury. Who knows? But Carter and his family are consulting with doctors, gathering information, quote unquote.
I wonder if you're the Titans let's say the Titans pass and they get Cam Ward. If you're whoever you are next, do you think let's take Travis Hunter instead of Abdul Carter?
Let me ask you, John. Do you remember anyone's career ending because of a foot issue?
Yeah, Yao Ming.
Who?
Yeah, Yao Ming.
I mean, this guy didn't remind me of Yao. This guy doesn't have a structural issue in his foot that was detected before he was even injured. So I don't think that this has, I would never, ever not make a decision based on an injury like this. This is an injury that guys have stress fractures that are fixed all the time. It's not an issue. So to me, if you make a decision based on something right now that won't have any impact on the next 10 years, that would be stupid. If you like him, it's not going to change anything.
I don't even mind if you draft a guy that you know he's going to be out for the year. As long as you know he's going to make a full recovery, I don't mind missing a year if you're drafting a guy.
That's trickier to me because you lose a full year contractually. But if you think he's the best player, you have to make decisions based on the problem is you're paying him 5 years of money for 4 years, and that doesn't really sit well with owners. I know
stuff happens. I mean,
however,
Aiden Hutchinson is in his rookie contract, and he missed most of.
But it doesn't matter. This guy's not going to miss the year. Like this is not an injury you miss the year with. So he'll it takes about 8 weeks. If you're going to have the surgery, I'd have it now. If you're not going to, what I think is this is what's going to happen. This is what I'm going to predict. He won't have the surgery. He won't work out at his pro day, and that'll be that. And then he'll go through more medicals if he needs to individually.
And then we'll see who says, we don't mind. We don't care. We saw him
play. What's interesting, John, is what may have happened is here, I don't know if he's gone through. I'm not sure about the time frame of when medicals are. I have to see. Oh, no, time frame for his medical group. Yeah, his medical group is today. That's what we're doing today. So he would have already had his medical. So maybe this popped up on the medicals, and maybe they didn't know about it. Mm. I don't know if I don't know if they knew about it or not, or if this just showed up on because it said tests revealed that on Wednesday. So maybe they didn't know about it. Maybe they did know about it. I don't know what the case was. But it is of note because he is – expected to be the first pick. I don't think it will be the 180-pound cornerback or wide receiver. That's not typically the guys that go first. You don't historically 180-pound. Devontae Smith was in a phenomenal draft, but those types of players don't typically go first.
Yeah,
Cam Ward is like a second round quarterback in most years. I mean, does that go first? It's like I don't. There's not really a lot of options. It's pretty much like Abdul Carter. And then if not him, you go, okay, well, I guess we'll go Travis Hunter. And then after that, I don't know. I really don't know what you're looking at after that.
I think to me it's either Cam Ward or Abdul Carter because the Titans need a quarterback.
Yeah.
Speaking of needing a quarterback, your boy Ballard made a little bit of news by saying, you know what, we've got an open competition this year at quarterback. He had one of, if not the worst quarterbacks in the league. And, he's so inaccurate. Anthony Richardson is just not, he's just not good. Justin Fields, is that a possibility? Is Russell Shepard? Is Sam Darnold? Who's a possibility in Indianapolis to give him competition?
Well, I mean, I think Russell. Well, Russell Wilson could be, but then you're just walking in the same path as Carson Wentz, Matt Ryan. But he's just trying to get competition. Like, he just doesn't want to hand it over to Anthony Richardson. This has got to be about who gives us the best chance to win. Remember, the Colts are one drop swing pass away from being in the playoffs under Gardner Minshew, and the Texans got in. That's the only way the Texans got in, is there was a drop swing pass, and where Gardner just kind of put it behind the running back a little bit, and the running back didn't make a play on the football against the Texans. And if that pass is completed, the Colts get a first down, and that game more than likely is over, and the Texans don't go to the playoffs in the first year. I think some people forget about that's what happened year before last in 2023. So that was with Gardner Minshew, who is just a guy. So if you have just average – if you have average quarterback play, just average quarterback play, from a veteran, you've got a chance to win the division that we're in. I mean, you would have last year, and you did the year before. So I don't mind it. It's just not the answer if you're the Colts. If you're the Colts, you basically are just saying Anthony Richardson may not be the guy. We're going to make it. But who do you have? Like, who is it? Well, it's Russell Wilson. It's Justin Fields. I think Justin Fields would be one of the best options. He's not much of a passer, but you do have good weapons. Could end up taking potentially Colston Loveland, a really good tight end there, potentially, or an offensive lineman at number 12. And then you've got weapons. Like, they've got Josh Downs, Alec Pierce, Pittman. They've got, obviously, Jonathan Taylor. They're going to probably draft a tight end, maybe Mason Taylor in the second round. So, but I don't blame him. Like, this is Ballard's last year if they don't win a division, more than likely. And so you got to give yourself the best chance to compete this year, even if you don't think you have the quarterback of the future, which I don't think they have. Like, to me, he was always a boom-bust player.
That's on Ballard, too. I mean, taking him fourth overall was just a mistake. It was just
– Well, what was he going to do? He had passed on quarterbacks for six straight years.
Well, there were other quarterbacks there. I mean,
there was Will Levis. That was it. And all those other years that they – all those other years they had been in the 20s. Like, they had won too much to draft. You know, I studied this close. They really had no opportunities. There was no quarterbacks anywhere where they were drafting. They were winning too many games. And they couldn't get there. And they tried it with veterans. And actually, you know, Philip Rivers played pretty well. But Philip was done. Carson Wentz, they thought they had, you know, Doug Peterson thought. I mean, not Doug Peterson. What was it? God dog it. Who was it? Who had him in Philadelphia?
Shane Steichen.
No, not Shane Steichen. God dog it, who they had when he first started off. Frank Reich.
Yeah.
Frank Reich said, I can get the magic out of Carson Wentz again. No, you can't.
Yeah.
And then, you know, Matt Ryan, you thought you had a year. Matt really fell off quick. And so finally they're sitting there at four, and you got C.J. Stroud and Bryce Young, and then you got two guys who are – to me, we're second round type guys, Will Levis. So he's like, we got to take our shot. We've gone this far, we have to take our shot. So they took their shot, but unfortunately, the guy has. You know, if he had stayed healthy, maybe you're in better shape. If he had stayed healthy and had a rookie year and went through some of his bumps, if you could run him more, him being Anthony Richardson, you might have a chance because he's not a good passer, but he can run. But he gets hurt when he runs. So. I think, you know, I don't see any way out of it for the Colts, honestly. I just think they're stuck. Jacksonville's stuck. Tennessee is stuck. The Texans are just in a win-by-default division. So all you have to do is play above-average football, and you're going to win that division if you're the Texans.
Well, Tennessee has got – that's why I think they have to take Cam Ward, you know, just, but for the same logic that the Colts had to take Anthony.
Yeah, and that's why they might, but, you know – new head coach, new general manager, you always have a little bit more time. You know, you can always say, well, let's just wait until next year and let's see what happens. And let's just go get the best football player we can. Because if your first draft, you pass on a guy who ends up being a 14-sack guy for the next above-average Anthony Richardson type, man, that's a tough look. That's David Carr over – you're basically going David Carr over Julius Peppers. And that wasn't great.
No. 713-780-3776 is the number. Well, the Texans had some news, too, yesterday that Danielle Hunter looking for an extension, a $30 million a year extension.
It's about time we got him some more money.
Yeah, Danielle Hunter needs that. And you know what? We all need that.
So maybe he could.
A $30 million extension for Danielle Hunter is out there on the table. Well, at least it's out there.
Is that
the
price now for defensive ends is $30 million?
Yeah, well, he had 12 sacks.
No, I'm just asking. Like, I did 16 straight radio shows and podcasts yesterday. For some reason, Texans radio wouldn't have me on. I asked Mark Vandermeer and Johnny. I said, guys, I'm NFL.com and NFL Network's Lance Zierlein talking draft. Do you want me on? And Mark said, if I could, I would have you on. You know that. I said, guys, I'm not ESPN 97.5's Lance Zierlein. I'm NFL Media's Lance Zierlein. Everything's fine. Just put me on the show. And they wouldn't do it. But I did a lot of shows, man. I did two Bengals shows. I didn't even know that was a thing. I did all these shows. And one of the guys that kept coming up was Trey Smith. And the number – and, you know, we've talked about him, the offensive guard from Kansas City. And one of the numbers that kept getting thrown around for him was – 23 to 25 million. And I'm like, is a guard really 23 to 25 million now? I guess I'm working off of the prices from 2 years ago. And maybe this new salary bump, you know, salary cap bump we're going to see is going to have that kind of impact. But man, if we're in a world where guards are getting 25 million, whew, I mean, wow. That is a lot for a guard. Quarterbacks are going to be 70. Well,
if that's the case, then Danielle Hunter is worth $30
million. Are we at $100 million by 2030 for a quarterback?
Probably.
I mean, why would quarterbacks try anymore if they've got if you've got $400 million guaranteed? Like, I'm just trying to think of how everything's going to get paid for. Because they're going so high at a rate. The rate of increase, it was $30 million like 7 years ago. 7 years ago, I think it was $30 million. Now it's already at about $60 million. And now guards are at $25 million. Like, this is crazy.
Yep. I know how it's going to get paid for. But by taxpayer dollars.
Tariffs.
Okay? Building stadiums. That's
tariffs
how it's
on our
get
taxes.
That's right.
Tariffs
that's
on
right.
our beers.
Yeah, that's right. Or USAID, they'll pay. They're going to pay it. Okay.
I don't think they're paying anything.
You don't think they're paying? Okay. Well, okay. That's you. Okay.
I don't think they're going to be in existence to pay all of our salaries. To pay all those salaries.
OT rules are on the table. We will talk about that. We've got Nick Caserio sound as well. He made the rounds yesterday. He did the car wash. So we got Nick Caserio. We got overtime rules in the NFL. We got Rockets with back-to-back win. We got all kinds of stuff to talk about. But first, we're going to talk about John Daspit.
John Daspit, the Daspit Law Firm. He was the topic yesterday. I was talking about John and some of the things that he's doing out there. The Daspit Law Firm has been in business for a little while now, and John is John's great at making sure that people are taken care of who are injured in accidents. He wants to make sure that you get the right treatment. So many people who get injured, you may not have health insurance because you just can't afford it. And you're injured in an accident and you just don't want to go to the hospital because you're gonna rack up bills. And listen, you got to go. If you're hurt due to someone else's negligence, John will make sure that you get your x-rays, your MRIs, your CAT scans, whatever needs to be done. You will get repaired if it needs to be a surgery, whatever, physical therapy. Let's get you right. And then on top of that, the Daspit Law Firm is going to make sure that you are properly compensated, not just for the time missed from work, but also for your pain and suffering, so that you are treated fairly. And that's something that really typically doesn't happen with insurance companies. They don't treat you fairly. You guys know this. Every form of insurance, they're just not fair with you. I wish it was different, but it's just not. And so they're going to put the squeeze on you. So John Daspit is going to fight for you and fight for your side against the other side who is trying to squeeze you, and he is going to get you the settlement that you deserve. It's John Daspit and the Daspit Law Firm. 713-CALL-NOW, that 713-CALL-NOW, or just go to DaspitLaw.com.
Listen to ESPN 97.5 and HD, 97.9 HD2.
You're listening to Houston's longest-running sports radio morning show. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John and Lance.
All right. Welcome back here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. 9:24 left in the first quarter. The Rockets hit their first five shots. They're up 14-4. The game is over. The game is over. They went up 17 that quarter. They ended up winning the first quarter by 14 points. It's over. Okay? I don't know that I've ever seen. Do you remember a box score where the starters for an NBA team scored a total of 27 points? No starter in double figures. A total between the five starters of 27 points. That is terrible. I don't know. I'm sure it's happened. Back in the day, back in the 50s or whatever, when games ended, 27-25, whatever. I don't remember though modern basketball that the starters scored a total of 27 points. That sounds crazy.
I don't know when you would have seen that.
3, 4, 4, 7, 9. 3. Harrison Barnes scored 3. De'Aaron Fox brought him over. 3 of 12, 7 points. I mean, it just, Chris Paul, 1 for 5, 4 points. It's just, that's just awful. They're just terrible. Now, of course, they have the injuries. But you would think, you know, you brought in a De'Aaron Fox who you think, you know, at least be a little competitive. That was over in literally 2 minutes into the game. The game was over. They called a timeout. The Spurs had to call a timeout because the Rockets, Dylan Brooks on fire. I mean, they were 5 for 5 and up by 10 and with 9:20, with two and a half minutes gone. So, yeah, so that was an, you know, that's the kind of game, though, that you needed in a back-to-back situation. The Rockets, you know, a laugher. Amen was great. 25 points. He had 9 rebounds. He just does everything. Just does everything. So that was a nice win. Rockets with, you know, those are the ones you can't let the San Antonios, you know, you got to make sure you take care of that business.
That's got to be a no-brainer. That's got to be a no-brain win.
So they're a half a game ahead now. They're in the fourth spot. They're half a game ahead of the Lakers. I'm sure we're going to keep on watching this. There's still a lot of basketball to be played. They've only played 59 games. So there's still a lot of basketball left. But, you know, we're going to continue to keep an eye on this. They're just a game and a half out of second in the West. So you would love to get up there in that second, third neighborhood. And you still got a great chance, just a game and a half behind Memphis and Denver. And it's not like you can't catch them. With the Rockets, with the win yesterday over Milwaukee, the Rockets have beaten every playoff team this year. So,
have they really?
I mean, yeah.
You know, it's funny because the Knicks, I was watching something on ESPN this morning. The Knicks are 0-3 against the Celtics and 0-2 against the Cavs, I believe, or the other way around. The Knicks, the top two teams, you know, the Knicks can't beat them. The Rockets beat everybody. There's not a team, you know, and I was thinking, and this just, what you just said, just solidified a certain, you know, it solidified. I'll bet there's not many teams that have done that.
I don't know that they're not the only team. I don't know that. Well, probably Oklahoma City and Cleveland. They're beating everybody they play. But the Rockets are 1-2 against OKC, Memphis 3-1, Denver 1-0, Lakers 1-0, Clippers 3-0, Minnesota 2-2, Golden State 1-3, Cleveland 2-0, Boston 1-1, New York 1-1, Indianapolis 1-1, Milwaukee 1-1, Detroit 1-1, Orlando they haven't played, Atlanta 1-0. 18-12 against playoff teams this year. 18-12. That's pretty good. That is pretty good. They're stepping up. When you're That's good basketball right there. We are beating good teams, and you know, they've stumbled against lesser teams. You know, I think some of that might be focus. That's nice. They haven't played Orlando yet, so I guess. But again, every team that they have played, every playoff team that they have played, they've got a win against. So there's a lot of stuff to do. Number one, OT rules. They're thinking about putting in what they do in the playoffs where each team has a possession. They have found that the new rules actually favor the team that gets the ball first more than it did before they changed the rules.
Yeah, it's still not. You know what? I was surprised it's not as high as I thought.
No,
they're
it's
acting
only
like this is something that. Yeah, it's like, what, 56, 58%? We got it. This is just too big a – well, yeah, I mean, whoever gets the ball first has an advantage. It's like whoever has more possessions in a game has an advantage. I'm kind of surprised that they're doing that because now what you're going to do is extend – now they're talking about – see, this is why I hate reactionary behavior by people. Before, it was there's too much football. We need to shrink the amount of overtime. Let's just get it to first team. It's, you know, we'll get everything we do is going to be for player safety and this, that, and the other. And now they're like, well, let's take it to 15 minutes, okay? Because the overtime is, what, 10, 12, whatever 10. It is. Let's go back to 15, and let's make these things last longer, which I don't care. If you want to do that, I don't care. But stop flip-flopping and going back and forth. You can't figure out. Now you don't like the onside rule, onside kick. because you can't recover any onside kicks. It's become basically impossible. So, like, we got to look at changing that. Now Troy Vincent says we're going to take the – if you kick it into the end zone for a touchback, it's now going to the 35. So, basically, you have – everything has to be a kick return. Like, I'm fine with – that one is okay to me. I still think the 30 is probably fair. I mean, you've gone from the 20 to the 30. That's a big difference. You've gained 10 yards. I don't know about having to go to the 35, but just let teams make a decision. What I found is a lot of teams have decided, you know what, our cover teams are good. We're going to force you to make a return. And a lot of teams are already hitting pop fly kickoffs to do that. The overtime thing, to me, I just think it's luck of the coin flip. You know, I wouldn't change it based on those numbers.
Do you want it to be luck of the coin flip or the best team, you know, wins? I agree, listen, both teams should have a possession. Both teams should have a possession.
Both teams have a possession. But I mean,
no, they don't. If you score a touchdown, then you have the ball first, both teams have the possession. Pardon me?
That's fine, but I don't want just let's stop changing it. Get it right and then move on from it.
I mean, how many times, what
do you want to happen? You want it to be 50-50? It's not going to be
50-50. You want it to be fair.
But, I mean...
I don't want the luck of a coin flip to determine who wins the football game.
I don't think it is. You got to go play defense. We're acting like the coin flip determines it. No. It's offensive execution and defensive execution is what determines it. And it's also not being done at a super high rate. At 50, it was 53%. Now it's 56%. Well, that's not some astonishingly overbearing rate of success. Like I thought it was going to be after I heard the discussion. Then I saw the numbers. I'm like, well, this isn't – I thought that was pretty low, actually. Yeah. I thought it was like, oh, you know, 68% actually end up winning games. And it's 56%? That wasn't a huge advantage.
Well, it's not the only thing. And finally
– I would be in favor of being more drastic with it and turning it into more like college. I think you don't have as – I think it would be more exciting. I think you have a finite result. You're not having any ties because ties don't make any sense for the NFL.
Yeah.
It should never be a tie. So I wouldn't mind if they went to the college and said, look, we're going to go. We'll start at the 50-yard line, and we'll play this out to the 50 and or even to the, you know, we'll start it at the 40, and you go from there, something like that. But I don't think it needs to be another – I'm okay if it's not another quarter of football. You want to give both teams a possession at the 40, now all of a sudden you don't gain any yards and you still got a chance to make a 57-yard field goal. If you want to start it way down by the goal line and you basically make it two-point conversions, I would be okay with that, but you take out the passing element and you just turn it into rub routes, and I don't love that. So I would take it, you know, maybe back a little bit from there. But would you be okay with going more towards the college game?
Yeah.
But maybe
like
changing it.
I love the college way.
I'm fine with the college game. I think it's exciting.
Yeah.
I think it's exciting.
It is. It
a lot of these overtime games are kind of just you start going, oh, my God, somebody better move the ball or this is going to be a tie. I'm always freaking out that we're going to see a bunch of ties because, you know, we see quarters all the time where no one scores.
Yeah.
So you get a three, one team get a three, and the next team get a three, there's a good chance that thing's ending in a tie because when there's only 10 minutes to go in those games.
Yeah. All right. It's 7:30 ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. 713-780-3776. Not only that rule change, we've got electronics going to play a role about time instead of the chain just deciding who, it had a major decision. The chain had a major decision. Well, the spot actually had a major decision.
Hold on.
In the Buffalo,
actually,
Kansas City.
I want to make sure. I think it's still the chain, but it's for on the fly.
Well, no, they're going to have more cameras, more angles, and they're going to be able to spot the ball better.
Yes, but wherever the ball gets spotted, the electronic first down marker.
Right.
Which is what they're doing, which they can do. They have this technology. That's where the first down is going to be, wherever they spot it. But they can, the final, from what I understand, the final decision is going to be, if it needs to, they call the chains out and they do the chains.
Replay assist will confirm the accuracy of the placement. And they're going to have more cameras, additional cameras in every stadium. There will be more and better replay angles of forward progress.
But if it's not challenged, if the decision about if it's a first down or not is going to be the chain, you still bring the chain out. You can challenge the spot more accurately.
So it's really
the spot that's going to be challenged, and they'll have an electronic first down. But when it needs to, they're still doing it by hand, kind of like, you know, balls and strikes are still being called manually. It's going to be kind of like that.
It's so crazy. In the 1920s, they used the chain, and we can't figure out a better way to whether or not it's a first down.
And we have this technology.
With all of this, it's crazy. It's crazy.
Yeah.
All right, breaking. And when we come back, we got Nick Caserio sound on the other side right here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Don't go anywhere.
You are listening to Houston's longest-running sports radio morning show. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John and Lance.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Nick Caserio, he met the media yesterday. Did you get a chance to sit in on his press conference?
No, I did literally four straight hours of radio hits, podcast hits, and TV hits. So I didn't even get to hear it.
So you were just being a star. You were just, you know.
Everyone does that stuff. Charles Davis had to. A lot of us have to. Matt Miller. But I didn't get to see it. I did see him sit down with Johnny and Mark Vandermeer. He sat down at the table there while I was doing Jet stuff. But
well, that's different. Johnny.
Yeah,
and,
he did that show. But
why didn't he do our show this morning?
I don't think he will do our show.
No?
He's heard about you, and he won't take any chances.
Okay.
He's heard your nickname's The Problem.
Okay. Okay. All right. I'm pretty sure he's right about that. Okay.
he's right about it.
Okay. So okay. So Nick Caserio talking about some flexibility. Let's go in order, Dell. All right. So they don't have much cap space, right? They've got six draft picks. They don't have much cap space, but they do have some. They're probably going to have to open up some cap space by making some moves, right? I mean, that's a real possibility.
Yes.
So
yes, for sure.
Nick made a big splash last offseason with the Danielle Hunter, with Stephon Diggs, he made a bunch of moves last year, and was like, wow, holy crap. So what kind of flexibility does he have this year? Here's Nick Caserio.
Well, I think we'll have some flexibility here. So by the time we get started, I mean, I think we're able to kind of create a little bit, you know, going back to last year. So I think we'll be able to kind of put ourselves into position to add some players, you know, to the team here as we go here in the next few weeks. So we did go talk yesterday. I think we have a pretty good team. We got a number of players that are returning. We have some players that are going to be free agents, 24, 25 players. Probably going to lose some players. Maybe there's a chance to re-sign some of those players. And if we don't re-sign some of our players, then maybe there's an opportunity out there that makes sense. So we'll just be opportunistic. We'll try to find players that have a very defined role that kind of fit, and then try to match up the role with the contract value. And if it's a match, great. If it's not, then we'll go to the next thing.
So do you feel like, okay, is there a big splash move this year for Nick Caserio like last year?
No, it's just not. They didn't have the money for that.
Yeah.
Even if you got to remember, I saw the contract. I'll give you an example here. Let me pull it up. This will probably solidify it for you. I've got something that has every team's team needs, their cap space, right? And there's a lot of teams that are in cap problems, but.
Oh, yeah.
Chargers have $63 million to spend. Indianapolis has $28 million. The Pittsburgh Steelers have $53 million. Cincinnati has $46 million. Jacksonville, $32 million. Denver, $34 million. $92 million for Las Vegas. Tennessee has $44 million. How about this? The New England Patriots have $119 million. Who are you outbidding? That's just the AFC. I haven't even gotten to $75 million for Washington, $58 million for Minnesota, $45 million for Detroit. Who exactly can you outbid for anyone? $71 million for Arizona, $42 million for Green Bay. Listen to these numbers I'm saying. And where's Houston? Like $3 million? Even if you make your cap cuts, you're not even close to what these guys have. $63 million for Chicago, $43 million for San Francisco, $43 million for the Giants. You have no chance to compete with them. So yeah. You cannot sign Trey Smith. You couldn't sign Trey Smith if you wanted to.
No, but you
get wallet
whipped. You are, as opposed to New England, who will pay more, he'll have to pay more. You're a destination, though, that people will want to come. New England,
but,
not so much.
Yeah, but, I mean, it's still at the end of the
you
day.
You can bring in – I wouldn't be surprised at all if he doesn't bring in a good player.
You can bring in a good player. You're not going to get a splash player, though, because, let's face it, your careers are short in the NFL. If the Patriots can give you $90 million guaranteed and Houston's doing a two-year deal for less money and you're in your 30s, it's pretty rare we see anyone take those things.
Yeah.
It's still about the money in the NFL. It's still about – and that's why we always argue when Houston was bad that you could still get free agents as long as you had money, because those guys like money. If it's a one-year deal, guys pick and choose all the time, and that's fine. If it's a Trey Smith, you have no chance at a Trey Smith. Those teams I just mentioned. You got your choice of a lot of teams.
And there's a lot of money, and there's teams that can win with money too. So, that's going to be that. Trey Smith is going to be tough. I'm not talking about Trey Smith.
Detroit's got $45 million, right? I mean, that'd be a pretty good gig to go play for. Detroit. And I talked to David Shaw a little bit, who took over as passing game coordinator for the Lions. We were talking just a little bit about, their whole situation. But I think it's going to be, with Ben Johnson gone, with Aaron Glenn gone, it's going to be really interesting to see if Detroit can maintain. They're the hunted for sure. They won 15 games last year. I think Minnesota also had 14 wins. I think that's, they're due to come back to the pack a little bit. This is going to be a really interesting offseason across the board, because there's some teams that I think are due to fall back. Like, we always have this regression of the mean. I think the Texans still have growth. The Texans are more than a 10-win season, I believe. I think they're more than a 10-win season. They weren't that great last year on offense. They were 29th in the league in sacks allowed. Horrible. 26th in red zone success. 21st in passing yards per game. I mean, they were 27th in red zone in defense. Did you know that? They're one of the worst red zone defensive teams. There's still room for improvement for the Texans. And, this is a team that really could be a 12-win team by next year with just some minor changes and some guys playing better. That's all.
Yeah. So it could be better. It could be a lot worse. The NFL Players Association report cards came in yesterday.
Oh, boy.
And the Texans were ranked. Do you know the answer to this?
I don't know the Texans. I know everyone who got a bunch of Fs, though.
Yeah. Do you know where the Texans ranked?
I'm going to guess somewhere in the middle of the – you know what? I'm going to guess with Hannah and Cal, I'm going to guess high. I'm going to guess one of the top eight.
Sixth.
Yeah.
Yep. Now, what's interesting is the ownership got an A, which is seventh. Head coach got an A, 15th, because there were A-pluses out there. Team travel, B, that was 22nd in the league. Strength coaches, B-plus, 17th in the league. Weight room, B-plus, 14th in the league. Training staff, B-plus, 8th. Training room, B-plus, 8th. Locker room, B, 13th in the league. Nutritionist, A, 4th in the league. Food and dining, 2nd, A. The Bengals got Fs in their food.
Did you see Bengals? They said they put too much cinnamon on stuff. There's not enough seasoning on the food.
Treatment of families. How about this? The Texans got an A for ownership, but treatment of families got a B minus, 14th in the league.
Well, that's always, a lot of times, is a little. It doesn't take a lot for people to get a little upset if they don't get what they want in terms of
if they don't, hey, give me tickets, I need tickets for my family. You're gonna have to buy
so you know so the Bengals are known for being right a cheap organization. It's pretty well known. They don't have the scouting staff. Everything about the Bengals is, hey, we don't have enough money, we're just going to do bare minimum. That's what they're known as. I went and did the Bengals a Bengals show, and this guy's a really good host. I like this guy. So Radio Row now has over 60. There's like 68 tables now. There's a ton. A lot of radio stations go, a ton. And and I sit down with the Bengals. That's the first one. Now, let me just tell you what it looks like at the end of my – I do radio hit after radio. Every 15 minutes, I got a new place to go. I did it for the girl who handles it ended up adding like six onto what I had that I thought I was supposed to have. So I ended up going for almost four straight hours of just talking about draft. These people have these really cool setups, you know, great technology. They've got multiple cameras. They got a one shot for me. They got a one shot for the table, a two shot, you know, where I've got my own camera. All this stuff is really well done. And their microphones are like some of the best microphones. And these are the people around the radio facility, the broadcast facilities. It's just a big hall with tables, but their stuff is really good. I get to the Bengals. It's just one guy on a cell phone using his recording app, going back and forth with the phone to my face and his face, my face and his face. I'm like, This is so Bengally. Like, everyone else has got this high-tech stuff, and their broadcasts sound incredible, and they're capturing video. And this is just one guy at a table with a phone in his hand going back and forth. His questions were good. I enjoyed the interview, but all I could think of was, man, it had to be the Bengals. Just have one guy with the phone talking back and forth with you. I said, do you want me to record mine and my phone and I can send you the audio? He goes, nah, I just think back and forth would be good. Just don't talk, you know, until I'm done talking. I get the phone in your face. I'm like, oh, okay. I'll make sure and hold
not
off.
Not talk. Yeah. All right. That is so funny. 7-3, that's so Bengals. I'm surprised not the Jets, too, although the Jets is New York City. But that, owner got the worst grade, F.
Oh,
F.
F minuses across
F
the board.
F minus for
I saw
Woody
your boy
Johnson.
Jake Asman, by the way, too. He told me to tell you hi.
Oh, yeah. That's
he told me
man.
To tell your
that's
mom hi, since you told
oh,
his mom hi.
Oh, wow. See, moms. We got to do this again?
Okay. I don't know.
We got to do this again.
Did you start
moms.
The mom thing?
No, I didn't start the mom things. They
didn't
started.
You say you're going to have sex with all their moms?
Don't start none, won't be with it. F-A-F-O. Okay? Okay? And they FO'd. Okay? Time for me to talk about Chastain Ford. That's what we're talking about. ChastainFord.com. Chastain Ford, you don't even have to go into the dealership. That's what the cool thing about Chastain Ford. But other dealerships, you have to go in. They want you in the dealership. You can't close the deal online. You can do it totally online at Chastain Ford. You know why? Because they don't have to bring you in to make sure that they mark you up and add on, and we got to upsell, make sure that they get we get as much as we possibly can for this sale. That's just not their philosophy at Chastain Ford. You can do it the whole thing online. You never have to show up at the dealership. That is so. I mean, during COVID, it was, I mean, and now they're still doing that. They're like, whatevs, you don't have to come in. We don't care. But this was before COVID. You didn't have to go in ever at Chastain Ford. You could have done it all online. They're incredible. I love what they do at Chastain Ford. I love how they customize a vehicle perfect for you, okay? And especially if you are a business, you know, they've got the box trucks. They've got the F-150s, the F-250s, they got it all. But they customize it perfectly for your business. And they know business, okay? The number one commercial dealer in the city of Houston for Ford. You know why? Because they do it perfectly for businesses. They give you a great truck, customize it perfectly the way that you want it, the way that you need it. And the bottom line is the bottom line with businesses. The bottom line should be the bottom line for you, too. Get that vehicle the way that you want it at the best price you can at Chastain Ford. I do. I hope you do, too. ChastainFord.com on 610 and Homestead, not Hempstead, 5 minutes from downtown Chastain Ford.
This is ESPN 97.5.
You are listening to Houston's longest-running sports radio morning show. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John and Lance.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Oh,
Jose
John.
Altuve. What?
John, I got to tell you something. Remember that whole Steve Smith thing, that guy who put all the picture, the posts between his wife and Steve out there? And then did you see that people said he deactivated his account. His account was taken off by X because that's considered revenge porn.
Huh.
Because he posted
just outing somebody for
posted I think the thing that got him is he posted a phone call that the guy, you know how we're supposed to tell people when they're being recorded or whatever it is when they're on the air. He didn't do that. He posted a recording without someone's knowledge and consent, and that breaks. I guess that breaks one of their rules or something. So I guess his account was completely taken away.
Yeah.
Maybe he comes back. I don't care one way or another. But
no, I don't either. But it's not untrue, right?
I don't think it's untrue, no.
Yeah, it's not untrue.
I do not believe it to be untrue.
Yeah.
I've seen no one issue statements to the contrary.
Right. Astros won again yesterday, no big deal. Fromber looked great. 2 innings, 9 pitches. In a 3-0 win. Jose Altuve makes his long-awaited debut in left field tomorrow. So we're looking forward to that against the Cardinals. They got a game today, and then tomorrow Jose Altuve makes his debut in left field. That should be interesting. Rockets win last night. They are now in fourth place, a half a game ahead of the Lakers, and then just a game and a half behind the second-place Memphis Grizzlies. We had all kinds of stuff going on yesterday at the Combine. A lot of good, juicy stuff. Myles Garrett isn't going anywhere. Did Aaron Rodgers call the Giants? Is that true?
I don't know. You know, it's possible. I guess it's possible
because how about a little? That's a little revenge, huh? Against the Jets. I'll take less money and go to the Giants and then show you guys.
I mean, golly, do you want to do that if you're the Giants? It's one thing to go after Stafford. It's another with Aaron Rodgers. When's the last time we saw good Aaron Rodgers football?
Yeah, but you don't have to give up anything for Rodgers.
No, that's true. That's true. Yeah. I mean, except your dignity and all of your authority. Dignity.
I think that's going to change.
Yeah, we'll see.
I don't think he's
going to Aaron Rodgers is not doing what you tell him to do. He may not tell you.
He lost his ability to tell the organization what's happening.
Well, wait a minute. He already told, apparently, he already told one of the teams, who was it, somebody on the West Coast, that he would bring his wide receiver with him, Davante Adams. Now, that may be considered he's bringing a really good player with him. It's also kind of in the same category as Aaron Rodgers telling you, hey, one of my friends is coming with me. Yeah. Listen, we're not doing that
anymore.
Well,
at least it's not Randall Cobb, though. It's
At least it's not Randall Cobb. But you don't tell us who we're bringing. You don't, because once you do that, now Aaron has already got a weasel. He's weaseling in for he's going to tell you what you're going to do. We cannot do that anymore. You're not good enough to do that anymore.
Yeah.
You haven't been good since 22.
Yep. How about this? The U.S. women's national team lost to Japan yesterday. Nice job, Dell. Nice job. I mean, holy crap. Now, we can't even count on the women being good anymore? Wow. Dell, soccer, whatever. I'm done with them. I'm done with the women's team. Okay, losing to Japan. Come on. That's terrible.
Where is Dell?
I don't know where Dell is. I can't.
He's right there. He's sitting there. He's all mad about something. He's super mad about things.
Hey guys, didn't you say again this morning? Hey guys, let's have a great show. I hope you guys. How do you guys feel about today?
And then actually, nothing. I didn't do that today. But I just look. You can see him. I can see him on the screen. He looks like he's
pouting
about
something.
Yeah, look
at him. He's got
his
head.
What's he pouting about? Dell, what are you so mad about?
Yeah, what are you so mad about, bro? You mad,
Why
bro?
Why won't he get on the show? Dell. I need a nurse in here.
I need a Dell in here.
I need a Dell in here. Just go back to Nick Caserio.
All right. Let's play some Nick Caserio sound. How will this draft affect the free agent plan? Well, and that's a pretty good question because So we're whatever you draft, I guess, now you don't need that in free agency anymore, I guess. But like you said yesterday, redundancy is fine in the NFL, especially, you know, at, you know, picking up pass rushers. Oh, well, we got two great pass rushers. That's okay. Let's get another one in here. You know what? We thought we had a bunch of, hey, pick up Blake Fisher. You got your you know, Shaq Mason. We got Titus. We got Tunsil. Man, we're okay. No, suck. Just picked up Juice. We got Juice Scruggs. We got Patterson. Man, suck. So, I mean, does a draft? Well, let's ask Nick Caseri how the draft affects his free agent plan.
Let's say probably a pretty good opportunity for us in the draft as well. Continue to find good young players with the right mindset, with the right makeup that come in our program. I think the one thing about our staff, and start with D'Amico, we'll play young players. If they're the best players, we'll give them an opportunity. So everybody earns their opportunity based on their performance, regardless of how they get here, whether it's a free agent, whether it's a guy we draft, whenever we draft them, however they get here. So we'll try to go about it like we've done in previous years, try to make good, smart decisions, try to add players that we think can help our football team and take advantage of our opportunities, whether it's now in March, in April. I'm sure there'll be some things that come up in training camp. And then once September starts, there's probably going to be some opportunities there as well. So there's no, like, finite time period. Well, if we don't get said player or said position March 15th, what are we going to do? Well, let's go see what the inventory is that's available. We'll see what's left and just try to make good, smart decisions.
You know, that is true.
It's all accurate information. It just seems so...
Word salad.
Did we find out anything there?
Not really. So... But that is true about D'Amico. He's the anti-Ime. He will play a young guy. He ain't scared to throw Kamari out there right away, Stover out there right away. He ain't scared to throw Blake Fisher out there right away or, you know, after a few games. You know what? Get out there, kid, and play. Let's go. We need help.
Well, you know what the difference is? Well, first of all, he did have Reed Sheppard in the – early in the year, Reed Sheppard – I was at the first game. Reed Sheppard was one of the first guys off the bench. And then that all changed. You know, look at who – I think the difference is who's going to play ahead of Kamari Laster? They weren't good enough. The plan was to play Kamari Laster inside, and then the outside corners were so bad. Henderson and what's his name from Ohio State? The other terrible one.
Oduka. Okuda.
Yeah, Jeffrey Okuda. So Okuda and Henderson were so bad he had to move he had to move Kamari Laster outside. That's how he got outside. He had to because they weren't good out there. But I think you know why Ime doesn't do it? He didn't have to. Like, man, I got a bunch of guys. I don't even have to play Reed Sheppard right now.
Yeah.
Remember that call yesterday? Said he was trash anyway, and it was time to get rid of him.
Yeah, and he's trash. And
we found out from a caller that Reed Sheppard's trash and needs to be cut.
Right. Wow, that's a little aggressive. Who was that? Israel? Yesterday?
Yeah, Israel.
Israel.
Well, he didn't say he needed to be cut. He understands cap implications. He didn't want all that dead money on the roster. He just doesn't want you guys to pretend like this is going to turn around.
I don't think he understands the cap implications.
Yeah, you can't
cut.
Well, I understand what it sounds like, the implications of you eating when people are trying to listen. But
I mean, we're at a break. We're past 8 o'clock.
We're not in a break.
Oh, look, Dell's here now to boss us around.
Well, if you eat on the air, I'm probably going to chime in.
This is a delicious...
What are you eating on the air?
What's an RX bar? It's an RX bar.
Well, it's not even like real food. He's just chomping.
It's not real food. It's a
that
it's
is
a
awful.
It's a power bar. It's not great.
Yeah,
that's breakfast and lunch. So,
okay, all right. That's it. It's breakfast and lunch. Oh, instead of you went out for pizza the other night with your boys. Might as well just. Why did you spend 4 days on a cleanse and then go right for pizza? Okay.
Well, yesterday I went to a tasting with Dusty and Money Smith and Joey Molinaro.
Oh yeah,
it was a pretty good crew. Man, Joey
Where'd you
is
go
talented.
Tasting? What'd you go tasting?
We went to a place called Vita.
A little taste of taste
here in Indianapolis.
A little taste.
It was good. It was good. It wasn't a tasting. It was just four courses, but it was good. Your boy had carrots first course. a small little pork belly dish, a second course, pretty small dishes. And then I had a little Wagyu, it was a little piece of steak. Like, they're smaller portions, but it was good. The boys, you know what I found out? Oh, my gosh. Oh, you know what else I found out? LeBron's getting ready to be in some trouble.
Who?
LeBron.
LeBron?
I mean,
well, yeah, he's in the pit. He's in the
titty. Some rumors. There's some
he's
rumors.
In the titty that, thing.
There's some rumors. You just said it, John.
Who's in the Diddy deal? He's quoted as saying there ain't no party like a Diddy party. Yeah, that seems to be quoted. Of course he's in the middle of that. What are you, nuts? All right, we got a break. 713-780-3776. Come on in if you want to hang out with us. Anything you want to talk about here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Rule. You're listening to ESPN 97.5.